before we go, Dr. Surinder, we do want to ask you one final question, mm-hmm. and that is, what's your 40s formula?
Yeah, absolutely. So are you asking specifically in the 40s? Or by the way, you know, yeah. I'm not in my 40s.
It's funny enough, two of our three guests today are not in their 40s.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think Teresa might be in her 50s.
I think we've actually not met all three people. But our listeners are in their 40s.
Yeah, for our listeners. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. So are you specifically in... I've got a lot for women in their 40s.
Yeah, let's go with that first. Yeah.
Hey, hey, and welcome to the 40s Formula, your go-to place for insightful discussions on navigating the 40s and thriving in this transformative decade.
We're your hosts, Jasmine and Amanda, two women that are passionate about exploring the challenges and adventures that come with turning 40 and what lies ahead.
Dr. Surinder Arora is well known for taking a holistic approach to oral health and sees her role as a dentist as putting the mouth back into the body. She holds a Bachelor of Dental Surgery from the UK and has a certification in biological dentistry and is a member of the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology. She is a certified health coach, Kundalini yoga teacher, and has a master's degree in public health. She enjoys public speaking and is frequently invited to share her expertise. She is also the co-founder of the Holistic Horizon, a platform to educate and empower individuals on their health journeys. Today, we are going to be speaking with Dr. Surinder Arora. She is a biological dentist, and we're pleased to welcome her here on the 40s Formula. Hi, Dr. Surinder.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you. Now, before we sort of get into the depths of it all, can you please explain to our listeners, what is a holistic or a biological approach to dentistry?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is really about taking a whole person approach to your oral health care. So if you think about a medical system, it's very compartmentalized in many ways. So we have dental, we have medical.
Yeah.
But actually, dental is part of the body. So my role is like putting the mouth back into the body. So some of the things that I might look at are lifestyle factors, stress, sleep, nutrition. Mm-hmm. Nutrition is so important and really underestimated with regard to the oral health. Then I look at things like airway and breathing. Mm-hmm. So that's very important. Snoring, sleep apnea, going back to the sleep again. And then, do you have any infections inside your mouth that might be causing issues in the rest of the body? There are other aspects like the type of dental materials that are used. So we really look at a lot of different aspects, and people really don't understand the depth of the connection of the mouth to the rest of the body. We can see disease in the mouth that links to the body as well. So, I mean, the scope and the realm is just phenomenal.
Yeah, it's crazy because I guess you just think, oh, it's your teeth and that's it. But yeah, there's definitely more to it. We started getting into this rabbit hole of holistic dentistry when we realized that all three of our boys were snoring at night.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was like, geez, what's happening? So we went to go see an ENT and, you know, you're kind of like, well, hold on, there must be more to it. And then we realized, you know, there was this thing about the tongue posture and the mouth breathing. So can you tell us a little bit about that and how that would affect somebody?
Oh, goodness me, yes. So this is a huge topic, mouth breathing versus nose breathing. Mm-hmm. Many of your listeners may have heard about this already. So at rest, our lips should be together, tongue on the palate, breathing through the nose at all times, okay? Unless, obviously, you're doing a specific meditation or you're eating or talking, okay? So tongue, and when we say tongue on the palate, it's the whole of the tongue rolled up to the whole of the palate, not just the tip behind the two front teeth. That's just a starting point. Why? When we breathe through the nose, the air is humidified. Its moisture is added to it as well. It also mixes with nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is a bronchodilator, so it opens everything up. It also helps to sterilize the air that's coming in with regard to your pathogens. Mm-hmm. So your viruses and your bacteria are mitigated by the nitric oxide. You don't get that through the mouth, right? And then we see kids with more allergies or getting sick more often because they're mouth breathing. So the next point is, when you're breathing through the mouth, it can affect your development, okay? So the mouth and the face is typically longer and slimmer when we're mouth breathing and the tongue isn't on the palate. Think about the palate as the floor of the nose, Okay. So if that palate hasn't got anything pressing against it, so it's not forming nice and broad, it's forming like this, more narrow. And then that's the base of the nose. So this can lead to airway issues, sleep apnea, snoring, and a whole other plethora of health consequences.
So we started mouth taping our boys. Now, I know that's going to be like a controversial topic. People are like, what the fuck? But actually, it's a little cross thing, which you kind of put on like this, and they can still breathe. Yeah. In fact, I'm going to be honest, every morning we find this mouth tape everywhere.
Because do they tolerate that? Because I don't know that my kids
could. So we first started putting it on before we put them to bed, and it would come off straight away. So now we wait until they fall asleep, and then we put it on.
Oh, no. But
sometimes... You know, like, we'll wake up in the morning and the mouth tape is off and it's, like, stuck to their hair or stuck to, you know. So it comes off easily. Don't worry, I'm not, you know, like, stopping my kids from breathing. But what are your thoughts around that? Like, is that a good tactic to kind of get someone to breathe through their nose?
So if you can breathe through your nose well, and this is really important, if people have allergies or they can't or they've got a deviated septum, mouth taping is not for you. Okay, so there are some reasons you wouldn't. I tape every night. Yeah, I tape. I'm an ex-mouth breather.
Wow.
Confession. It's true. And it gives me such a better night's sleep. Now, even as an adult, if I'm doing the cross, I do the cross now as well. And I just use a simple 3M micropore surgical tape to do it. Okay. You get a lot of products on the market that can help with taping. Sometimes I take it off. Sometimes it's like on my top or if I, you know, it's like you find it in different, that's my mouth tape. If I can't breathe well through my nose, say if I'm a bit congested or something along these lines. But it's a great tool. It's not for everyone, but if people are open to it, it's definitely something to explore once you've seen all of your professionals, essentially your ENT and your dentist.
Dumb question, because you mentioned kids and you mentioned kids. Like, why would a child default to mouth breathing? Is it because of some structural thing, or is that just like how, like, what, like, in theory, if it's optimized to have your tongue flat against your palate, wouldn't kids naturally do that? But why wouldn't they?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's not a dumb question at all. So when we come through, when we're born, there are a lot of factors to consider. So how were we born, essentially? Was it a traumatic birth? Was there compression on the head in a specific way? So this is something. So when we see children that have come through, often the recommendation is to see an osteopath or get some body work done to adjust. So it can be habitual. Okay. Now, it's important when we do come through the role of breastfeeding. Now, I totally appreciate, as a mother myself, it's not everyone's journey to be breastfeeding, and not every child can be breastfed. And the latching can be very challenging for some people. However, if we don't get a good latch or we're not breastfed as a baby, the tongue is not pressing against the nipple. Now, this whole process of suckling is very important because it encourages the tongue to press against the nipple to get the milk out and press against the palate for palatal development, the palate being the roof of the mouth, okay? So that's essentially where it starts. Okay. Then it can be habitual. Then it can be allergies, Singapore, mold. You know, this is huge, like dust, mite, allergies, whatever. And then we get this progressive, habitual mouth breathing that we have to rectify later on. And then it's like a real holistic approach. Like, you're going to ENT, checking adenoids and tonsils. You're checking for allergies. You're doing some body work, all of that.
Wow. I had no idea.
It's crazy. And you know what's really weird? So this can sound so odd, but, you know, my husband and I will be watching something as we're so attuned to it now. We'll look at someone on the TV and we'll be like, oh, that girl's trying to look sexy with her mouth open breathing. But to me, all I keep thinking is, she's a mouth breather. I bet you do the same thing.
Well, I think we've also been conditioned that mouth breathing looks sexy. The lips apart very slightly. You can see a bit of the teeth. And when you look at the models, even you see them now, if you walk down Orchard Road and you look at the models on the video screens and in the stores, a lot of them still have their lips apart. That is not healthy. It is just not healthy.
So talking about being healthy, you mentioned the oral microbiome. Can you explain how that impacts our overall health? Because I think we always hear about the gut, you know, like the gut seems to be like the big thing.
But what's the entry point?
What's the entry point? And we miss that. It's the mouth. The mouth is the gateway to the gut. So anything we're putting in here is going into here. If we have dysbiosis, essentially an imbalance in the oral microbiome, guess what's happening in the gut? So fun facts, we have 700 species of bacteria, fungi, and viruses in our mouth. Okay. In a day, when we swallow, we have we will swallow about 140 billion of these.
Wow.
So what's going on in here goes directly into the gut. Yeah. Now, there's a book, I believe it's called Heal Your Oral Microbiome. I think it's Nelson Dooley. And she hypothesizes that 99% of the bacteria inside the mouth is good bacteria.
Oh, wow.
1% is not good. Now, you'll hear a lot of this like, oh, disinfecting the mouth, oral mouthwashes to try and get rid of the bad bacteria, but that's only 1%. Mm. If the bacteria in the mouth is imbalanced, we are more prone to dental disease, inflammation, all the same stuff as the gut. Dysbiosis, imbalance, okay? And the role of the microbiome is very important. It even produces nitric oxide to get the oxygen to the right places in the system. So it's very, very important that it's balanced and diverse. And you can share your microbiome. So if you have a dental cavity or if you have a dental infection and you're sharing your cup with your child, guess what happens?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's crazy, isn't it?
And you mentioned mouthwash.
Yeah.
So are we not mouthwashing? Are we anti-mouthwash? What's the situation?
So I would recommend everybody read the ingredients list on all of the products they are using. Everything. So if you're someone who reads food labels, you want to be checking toothpaste labels. Yeah. You want to be checking antiseptic mouthwash. Mm-hmm. What are we trying to achieve by using a mouthwash? Mm-hmm.
I remember I had a friend growing up in school. This is like a million years ago, like because I'm talking primary school.
Yeah.
And she used white vinegar as a mouthwash. Is that a thing?
So it can be a thing. I mean, I haven't really heard of white vinegar. I've heard of a lot of different things being used.
Yeah.
The thing is, vinegar is very acidic.
Yeah, right?
You just kill everything, wouldn't you?
Yeah. So we're looking for balance.
Enamel, right?
Yes, exactly.
I remember thinking it was weird, but she thought it was normal. So I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm six.
Yeah, people. That's cool.
But here I'm at 41 and I still don't know.
Amanda, you know, I've been raving about the Meat Club for over a year now, and for good reason. It's honestly made my life so much easier.
Oh, also mine. I don't have to think twice about what I'm cooking. Their grass-fed beef, organic chicken, wild-caught seafood are so fresh and ethically sourced. It's food that I feel good about feeding my family.
And it's not just the quality, it's the convenience. The subscription model is perfect for busy families. Once you set it up, everything arrives fresh exactly when you need it. Plus, you get up to 15% off with every subscription order.
And let's not forget the exclusive rewards. They've got perks worth $140 for subscribers. Things like a chef's knife, a wooden chopping board, and even a $30 voucher. It's like they know exactly what all the home cooks need.
Honestly, I wish something like this existed years ago. It's been such a lifesaver for planning meals, and I know our listeners are going to love it too.
If you haven't tried the Meat Club yet, use code TFF12 for $12 off your first order. There's no minimum spend. Just visit themeatclub.com.sg and experience the difference for yourself.
And make sure to follow them on Instagram at themeatclubsg for recipes and special offers. The Meat Club, trusted by us, loved by families, and perfect for yours.
And now, back to the show.
It's acidic. So whatever we're putting into our mouth, we have to think, what is it doing and why are we doing it? We want to be nourishing the microbiome. We want to be nourishing the mouth, not nuking things inside the mouth, right? And with your acid, like that's a strong acidic component, right? So you're going to be wiping stuff out using...
I'm just thinking about the burn, like...
Right? And again, we were young.
Yeah,
like this is like, you know, when we were learning to brush our teeth, I think.
I can't even get my kids to use mint toothpaste.
It's a challenge, isn't it?
So you said check labels, right? And you're talking about toothpaste. I'm talking about mouthwash. What are we looking for that's not so great? What are we looking for that's good?
So you definitely don't want alcohol in there.
Of any
kind. Of any kind. Mm. Of any kind.
Not even like on a Saturday night.
I'll leave that to you, ladies. But in your oral healthcare products, imagine the mouth absorbs everything. Mm. So everything you put into your mouth is being absorbed into the system. Oral cancer. So you see more oral cancer when alcohol is in the mouth. Right, smoking and alcohol. So we don't want to be doing that so much. And it wipes out everything, right? So we're talking about microbiome balance. It's just going to be wiped out totally. You want to have in your toothpaste something that remineralizes the tooth structure.
So does that mean fluoride?
So it could mean fluoride. And again, I encourage everybody to do their own research. The role of fluoride, evidence-based, is to remineralize the tooth structure. And it does that. There are hundreds, thousands of papers that support that. But there are also papers that support indications of fluorosis. Yeah. This is where fluoride is ingested and then the enamel doesn't form as well as it could. You get these white spots on the teeth, particularly in children.
Yeah.
That translates through to adulthood. And fluoride toxicity is another one. So you want to be looking up these things before you make your decision as to what you're using.
What else could you use then as a replacement to help remineralize the teeth?
So hydroxyapatite is something that you can use. But again, do your research on the type of hydroxyapatite.
Oh, there's different types?
There are different types. Nano hydroxyapatite. Oh, yeah. And it depends on the formulation of the toothpaste as well. It's actually a really complex topic. And there are a lot of toothpaste on the market now, which can be very confusing for consumers. It's, you know, charcoal this and that, like all of, you know, it's like, what do I use? What should I be using? But you definitely want something to remineralize the teeth from the outside in for that support. However, saying that, it's actually all about diet and nutrition for your mouth. We need to be eating the right foods, fat soluble vitamins. You're both nutritionists. You know all of this, right? This is essential. And this is a big piece of the puzzle that we miss.
So what sort of things would you then recommend for people to include or not include?
Well, the obvious things to not include are refined sugars.
Of course.
So you might.
I think that's something we can all agree on, right? There is no place for that in any metabolic process, right?
Including your. There is no place for that. And it's everywhere. Mm. I recently lectured at one of the schools here in Singapore, and I asked the audience, which were predominantly teachers, what foods do you have in your canteen? And they looked at me and they were like, well, we have noodles, we have breads, we have baked goods, all of this. What drinks do you have? We have Coca-Cola, we have Milo. So I asked the question, I was like, okay, after lunch, what is the energy of your students? And they were just like, yeah, they're not focusing. And I'm like, why? Has anybody thought of why this is happening? It's kind of like we don't make this connection between what our kids are eating, let alone ourselves, and performance at school, focus, all of this. So sugar is a big one. Acidic foods. If you're eating acidic foods.
I like having like apple cider vinegar as a dressing on my salad.
Yeah, I mean, this is all about balance. You know, it's all about balance. So I'm not saying just totally take out everything. And it also depends on a lot of other factors. Are you mouth breathing? Are you absorbing your vitamin D? So it's not just the diet, but the diet does play a huge role. But acidic foods essentially are going to create or cause dental decay. So when you get bacteria, sugar inside the mouth, there's a very complex pathway that happens of an acid being produced and then drawing out of minerals from the teeth and then dental decay, essentially.
So when you say acidic food, what sort of thing? Do you mean like salt and vinegar crisps? No. Or
She's not talking about coffee, right? That could not possibly be one of our acidic.
Never, ever coffee. Yeah, coffee's one. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Coffee's one of them.
No, I knew it. I knew it.
And if you're sipping it as well. Yeah. So, I mean, if you can down your coffee.
I just got to change the IV.
You just get that IV coffee in. Use a straw, like a metal straw. I don't know. I mean,
is the straw thing for real?
Because my sister does that.
Yeah, I had a colleague who did it.
Yeah. Straw's good. The reason for that is it doesn't go all over the teeth, ideally. It just goes straight. Really enjoying
the esophagus.
Enjoying my coffee. But
I feel like it would take the enjoyment out of it, though. You know?
Of course, it does. Yeah. It does. So it's balanced. So if you're having 10 cups of coffee a day, maybe you want to knock that down for a few reasons, right?
Amanda, you know how much I love Little Farms? Well, guess what? They've just come on as a sponsor and I am so bloody excited.
Oh, me too. I love that Little Farms isn't just a grocery store. It's been a go-to for top quality, all natural groceries and delicious cafe meals since 2016.
Same. And their commitment to whole food nutrition is amazing. Did you know they've got a banned ingredients list with over 200 items? That means no artificial preservatives, flavors, or colors, only real, all natural ingredients.
That is one of the reasons that I trust them so much. Every product on their shelves has been carefully vetted, making it really easy for us to make healthier choices for our families.
And they've really expanded, now with 6 restaurants, including their all-day brand new dining spot in Sentosa. Each one has a consistent menu, but also features unique dishes tailored to the neighborhood, like rendang, lamb shank, and sesame tuna tataki.
Plus, they've got amazing weekly deals, like one-for-one small plates on Tuesdays, happy hour on Thursdays, and my personal fave, the kids eat free on Sundays.
And for our listeners, we have an exclusive offer. Get 10% off your online shop at littlefarms.com using code 4Ts10 when you spend a minimum of $100. It's perfect for stocking up on premium groceries, wellness supplements, and ready-to-eat meals.
Whether you're dining in, grabbing groceries, or stocking up on wellness products, Little Farms has everything you need to eat well and live well.
Now, back to the chat.
Yeah.
I've heard from some friends that their really young kids are like going for root canals or fillings. Why is this happening? Like, is there a genetic component to this as well?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a genetic component as well. So through your genetics, you will get your salivary composition. So basically the balance of what's in the saliva. The saliva is very important because it sets the pH of the mouth, the acid-alkaline balance. We want it to be more neutral. And now we know if it's more acidic, you're going to be more prone to dental decay. Okay, so that's one reason with regard to genetics. The strength of the enamel as well, the quality of the enamel can come through genetics, and then your oral facial structures. So the way that your bone develops. So Amanda, Jasmine, you both have very different facial shapes. I also do as well. We all do, right?
Yeah.
And an element of that is what have we inherited? What's run down our line and what have we inherited and how are our jaws growing and are they shaped and are we mouth breathing? So then the diet piece is also very important. And there's epigenetics. You know about epigenetics. We can switch these genes on and off through lifestyle factors,
right,
nutrition, and then toxins in the environment as well.
So going back to fillings, what are your thoughts on amalgam fillings? And are there any other options available to people who might need them?
Absolutely. So they're totally different materials. Your amalgam fillings contain 50% mercury and a component of copper, zinc, silver, essentially. So when you type into the WHO, mercury, it's one of the most hazardous substances.
God, I'm just thinking, God, what did I do?
And a public health concern, okay?
Yeah.
And it's in our mouths. It's in a lot of people's mouths, and I see this all of the time. So history on mercury fillings, amalgam fillings, have been used since the 1800s.
Wow.
And they're a very cost-effective, cheap filling material, and they last. You will see these in people's mouths forever. I see them in people's mouths for a very long time. But yeah, we have this aspect of it being not such a safe material. I don't know if you've heard of Alice in Wonderland.
Yes, of course. The Mad Hatter?
The Mad Hatter. So if you punch this into your search engine, Mad Hatter disease, it's a real disease. If you look at all the qualities of the Mad Hatter, bouncing around, tremors, Parkinson's, whatever's going on, not the most stable individual at all, they're all symptoms of mercury poisoning.
Bloody hell.
Now, I'm not saying that if you've got mercury fillings in your mouth, you're going to have mercury poisoning, but you may have elevated mercury in your system. And I do see this with my patients. They go and have heavy metal hair test done, blood tests, urine tests, and they find higher levels of mercury. And this can link back to other issues in the body as well. So your other options are dental composites. These are a direct filling material that are put straight into the tooth. Or the most biocompatible material we have is ceramic.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so ceramics are indirect filling materials, meaning a preparation is made in the tooth, so it's shaped essentially. We do a digital scan, which is not radiation, or we take a mold. We send it to a laboratory and they make a customized piece of ceramic, which is inserted into the tooth.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now is there a cracking risk with that? Because when I hear ceramic, right, I think like,
Yeah. There is, I mean, with anything we do in dentistry, there's a risk. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
And with ceramic, yes, there is a cracking risk, but it's also the most hard, it's also the hardest substance we have available. If it's done correctly, it shouldn't crack. Yeah.
So we've spoken about toothpaste. We've spoken about mouthwash. What about flossing? Now, is that something that we should all be doing, maybe not be doing? What's your thoughts on flossing?
So interdental brushing is really important. So flossing is under the bracket of cleaning in between the teeth. So you can use floss, you can use interdental brushes, you can use water jets just to get around the gum edges and in between the teeth.
Yeah, my dad's a water jet guy. He travels with it. He literally travels with his water jet.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's easy. I feel like,
he's
you know,
so
you just
it.
Spray
yeah.
it, it comes out.
Yeah.
And it's so weird because I'll brush my teeth first
yeah.
and then I'll use the water jet and you still see bits of food coming out. Like, oh, like had I just brushed?
Yeah.
That would have still been
yeah.
there.
And that's what you can see, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's like plenty of stuff you can't see.
Yeah, exactly. And just think about those interproximal areas, those parts in between the teeth, we can't see what's lurking in between those areas. That is an excellent place for microbes, bacteria to live and grow and cause dental decay and cavities. So I think it's essential. We do want to think about what our floss is made of and the coatings on our floss as well. So that's something I also urge individuals to research.
What about teeth whitening? Now that seems to be, you know, like a big trend. Like everyone wants to have bright, beautiful white teeth. Is there a, I guess, a healthy or non-chemically way of doing this?
So typically what's used in tooth whitening is carbamide peroxide or another whitening or bleaching agent. You can try oil pulling. So this is where you take some extra virgin organic coconut oil, you put it in your mouth, a teaspoon, you swish it around for 20 minutes.
I know.
And what it does is it pulls out, it draws out all of that staining, the bacteria. It's a great way to support the microbiome and the mouth generally, gum disease, preventing cavities. And there is evidence for this. There are a lot of papers that have been written. It's an ancient Ayurvedic practice. When you're spitting it out, you spit it into the bin as opposed to the sink because it will clog the sink.
Yeah.
So that's something to note. But you can try that. I don't see the most amazing results, but some patients do report improvement in the shade, the whiteness of the teeth, essentially.
I have tried it.
And you bloody have?
My
For
jaw,
20 minutes?
No, I did five.
Okay. My jaw, I was like, hell no. Sorry, but no.
Like, seriously, you see this jaw? Fucking hell, I can tell you, right? It was painful.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, okay, now I'm feeling a bit sick. My jaw is hurting. Yeah. What do I do?
Yeah. So in the absence of oil pulling, for those of us who may not have patience, what are our other options?
Yeah. I haven't seen anything that's been
really
effective.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Zoom bleaching?
Yeah. So, I mean, you've got your conventional bleaching. Yeah. So it's Zoom whitening.
Yeah.
Or you can get take-home trays. So we take some molds of the teeth. Mm. We send them to the lab. They're like a little gum guard for the bottom and for the top. And then you fill it up with the whitening agent. You do get really good results from that, from what I've seen. But it's bleach. So you have to weigh up the pros and cons of how you feel about that as an individual.
Yeah. Because the Zoom bleaching I thought was just light. I've not done it.
Oh, that UV type.
Yeah.
No, so it's not just light. There's a whitening agent that's put on the teeth.
And then they blast you with the light. See,
absolutely.
I have not done.
Okay.
I did contemplate teeth whitening before, but then I realized I'd have to drink coffee through a straw and not eat Indian food. And I was like,
I'm out.
You know, I love my coffee. I love my Indian food. I don't know if white teeth are worth it.
Yeah, right.
Very British way of looking at it as well.
It's so true.
It's been amazing having you here and sort of sharing your input on holistic and biological dentistry. But before we go, Dr. Surinder, we do want to ask you one final question, and that is, what's your 40s formula? What advice or tips would you like to share with our audience about how they can, I guess, optimize their oral health in this decade or even with their kids and their family?
Yeah, absolutely. So are you asking specifically in the 40s? Or by the way, you know, I'm not in my 40s.
Funny enough, two of our three guests today are not in their 40s.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think Teresa might be in her 50s.
I think we've actually not all three people. But our listeners are in their 40s.
Yeah, for our listeners. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. I've got a lot for women in their 40s.
Yeah, let's go with that first. Yeah.
Okay, so menopause in 40s. So as we grow and we kind of come into the perimenopause, menopause phase of life, as we know, our hormones decrease, estrogen and progesterone. Then you get some oral health consequences as well. It's not everybody, but typically we get less salivary flow inside the mouth. So the mouth is drier. Mm. We get a more disrupted oral microbiome and we're more prone to dental decay and to dental disease. So I would definitely say hydration is essential. Healthy fats are essential. And there are some reports that suggest chewing a xylitol chewing gum is very helpful for stimulating salivary flow. And also xylitol can be antibacterial. There is a note to say it can disrupt the gut a little bit, so you want to have it in small quantities, but that is something that can be encouraged to stimulate salivary flow. The other aspect is, as we reach this period in life, we can be more prone to osteoporosis, so bone loss. So that can show up as gum disease, shaky teeth, and loss of the jaw structure.
Wow, that happens?
It can happen. It can happen, like the bone, right? Wow. So we're losing bone. There are actually appliances, oral appliances, that can be worn to encourage bone growth inside the mouth. I don't know if you've read James Nestor's book, Breath. Have you heard of it? I've heard of it, but I've not read it yet. There's an appliance called the Homeo Block that can help to encourage bone growth. But overall, what I would say is everything that we do for everything, essentially, good nutrition, good sleep and rest, mouth tape if your mouth is dry, and potentially chewing a xylitol chewing gum can also help.
So it's the act of chewing, I guess. So like a xylitol lollipop wouldn't be sufficient.
It's a good try. And again, if you're purchasing some of these products, you want to see what else is in it. You don't want to have loads of additives in there. Again, your mouth is a very sensitive place. It's going to go straight into the system. Mm-hmm. But yeah, find your way with that.
It's funny that you mentioned the dry mouth thing, by the way, for women that are going through menopause, because I just had a client last week come in. She's 61, well past menopause, came in with two organs. And I've never had a client present with that. It's an autoimmune disease that causes eye, basically dryness everywhere. Let's just put it that way. Dryness from your eyeballs all the way down. And it's funny, some of the strategies you just mentioned are exactly what, and obviously working on her autoimmunity problem as well. I mean, there's, you know, so we're working through some AIP and all that. But the point is, the dryness thing is persistent, and it's not just the dryness we all think about with menopause.
Yeah, and it can be quite intense, and burning mouth as well. This is something that people experience. So,
Wow, lots to think about, lots to sort of take care of. But essentially, your diet, your exercise, your sleep, which I guess is the 40s formula,
that's
right?
The 40s formula.
That's the 40s formula.
Will be.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Surinder. It's been absolutely fabulous having you here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been wonderful.
Oh, our pleasure.
Want more from the 40s formula? Every Friday, we'll be sending our 4Play Friday newsletter direct to your inbox with 4 hot topics, tips, and trends personally curated by Jasmine and Amanda.
All you need to do is visit the40sformula.com and sign up with your email address. That's the 40s formula.com. This is Paul, our editor.
He's a 25-year-old unmarried Singaporean guy listening to the ramblings of 12 older women on everything from menopause to weightlifting to sex. So, Paul, what's your thoughts on today's conversation?
Teeth whitening, flossing, brushing of teeth, and even a choice of toothpaste. These are all things which we do on a pretty much day-to-day basis, but we often skim through it as if it's not like some sort of a daily ritual or self-cleaning care as well. And of course, so one new thing I've probably learned is the process of oil pulling. You know, sort of using an olive oil, swirling in your mouth, and in order to get a nice white teeth. So I'm definitely going to try it.
Guys, you know how much we love coffee. And if you want to share some love, you know you can get us one.
Just visit buymeacoffee.com/the40s formula. Cheers. Before we go, please remember to hit subscribe and take a moment to support the 40s formula by leaving a review on your favorite podcast platform.
Your reviews will help us to reach more people and allow us to continue to bring valuable content. It should only take a moment, and it's a free way for you to support the show.
You can also stay updated with the 40s formula by following us on Instagram at the40sformula, all one word. We share behind-the-scenes insights, episode updates, and much more, so please be sure to hit that follow button.
We appreciate your time and support. Thank you for being part of this community, and we'll be back next week for more empowering conversations with inspiring guests.
Bye. Bye.
That's intense as well. Vaginal, eyes, like all of it. That's really intense. It can be very, I mean, I haven't experienced it, but very uncomfortable.
She's really suffering from it. And this is someone who's like a previous client of mine who never had any issues like this before.
How would you manage this?
Oh, well, we're going to put her on the AIP, that autoimmune protocol, right?
Yeah. That's so super strict, though.
Super strict, but temporary, right? Yeah. You know, so it's one of these where we're going to see if we can eliminate some of the autoimmune triggers. Yeah. And then she is on just some oral rehydration drops from her doctor. So she's going to, you know, have that. So we're going to see if AIP can start to reduce symptoms.
Wouldn't carnivore be appropriate in this situation?
Funny that you mention it, because
because that's the ultimate elimination diet.
Correct. Correct. And so it basically is carnivore for all.
Yeah. I mean, but you don't say
AIP
it's carnivore.
AIP and carnivore are not too dissimilar.
Yeah.
So what do you do if they're vegan or vegetarian?
Great. Again, I have never had a vegan or vegetarian Sjögren's sufferer yet.
Interesting.
It would be tricky. I mean, it's one of these where you'd have to be like the lesser of two evils, right?
Yeah,
where it's like they obviously couldn't do a strict AIP because they had nothing to eat.
Right.
But then I guess you would find out what is their reason for being having that. You know, like if they turn around and said, oh, we're doing it for health or wellness reasons, it's like, well, actually, it's not supporting your health.
Correct. Yeah, exactly.
It's always definitely harder when it's like religious or other things.